You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hello again and welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast. My name is Ryan Jones, joined as always by the best Katie, second best Katie, you decide, Katie Waite. Hello, Katie.
Hello.
And with Katie Thurston being the other one. And this week, a little bit of a bait and switch, not going to lie. And you called it last week that it was only going to be the men tell all. However, the guide I had said hometowns / men tell all. And they even opened this episode. Hey, we're at the resort. We're going to get started with hometowns. But that wasn't what we got at all.
No, we did not even touch hometowns.
This season, we understand with the way production allegedly went, maybe they needed to stretch some things. And wow, was this like the biggest stretch that we've seen yet?
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they knew Michael was going home, and I think they probably jumped on the chance of, okay, now we need to include him in the men tell all, so we have to sneak this in, and we just have to throw it in, and then just start men tell all and just drop the big bomb all in one episode.
Yeah, clearly this belonged in the last episode, and then we should have just, oh, not that we needed an extra 20 minutes, but it should have just been men tell all, but instead it opens up, and we'll talk about, I guess, the best part of the episode, which was this, you know, 20-ish minutes all on Michael. We finally got that clip that they had been teasing us with about, you know, how daddy doesn't want to see me. I don't care how many times they've shown it to us. I mean, it still breaks your heart every time.
It's horrible. And not only was this whole entire scene so like heart-wrenching, but we had to watch it twice because they forgot that we just saw it 30 minutes ago. So they had to replay it before he took the hot seat, and we didn't really need to relive that as viewers.
No, and you know, you have him FaceTiming with his son. As when you're that age, you're obviously not thinking, oh, I'm gonna turn the knife real good. It's just,
yeah,
listen, this is how he was feeling. And
it's so daddy's honesty.
Yeah, daddy's talking about vacation. He's like, well, why isn't daddy here? Maybe he doesn't want to see me, bye-bye. And then it's like walking away from the phone. We're like, oh,
heart-wrenching.
Totally. And so when he goes to see Katie, you know, at first I actually saw it as, okay, well, he's just going to talk about her with the situation. And then it became quite clear that he already made up his mind.
Yeah, I think as soon as he hung up the phone, he knew that it wasn't even, or shouldn't have even been, a decision. But at the same time, like, you're this far, this could be, you know, your entire future. And it sounded like it probably was going to be his future. I mean, after hearing that as a parent, I think that would just be the end for me. Like, it's time to go home after hearing how upset he was and having him say something like that.
It would have taken a lot of gymnastics, to use an Olympic term this week, a lot of gymnastics to convince himself. And really, once he told Katie about it, I'm sure she would have probably said the same thing. It would have been hard to convince anybody that, okay, maybe I should still stay, even though they are so close to the end. The other side of that argument, I guess, would be, well, I've already poured in these 2 months or whatever it's been. Maybe I can give those 2 extra weeks, 3 extra weeks, whatever it ends up being,
yeah,
to see if we can get to the finish line.
And I feel like, I mean, he had mentioned at the men tell all that he was starting to feel selfish, basically, because he said that he was facing the balance that all single parents try to keep together. You know, obviously your child comes first, but where do you and your love life really fit into, you know, that equation? And he was just trying to balance it, and he couldn't get past the fact of, you know, what his son said, and it was just time. But I mean, you were so close.
So close. And
that I also completely understand.
Absolutely. But he even talked about it right from the jump when he told Katie that he had a son, was that, yes, it's hard to leave him, but it's not fair for him to have a father who's unhappy. And so I just keep going back to this, like, you were right at the end, and it's
something changed, and he knew that maybe in the end this wasn't supposed to, Katie wasn't for him, or I don't know. I mean, it seemed like they were great from the viewer's point of view, but maybe he just deep down knew. Like, I feel like maybe if he knew that this was his next step, like this was his forever, then maybe he would stick out a couple more weeks. But maybe he just had, you know, an inkling that this wasn't it. This wasn't his end.
Yeah.
This wasn't his ending.
It's very confusing and understandable at the same time, because like you said, anybody, whether you're a parent or not, you hear that and you say, oh my God, run home now. What? Don't even talk to her. Just go.
Yeah.
But we are so close. And then you also have him, you know, basically shocking Katie to the point where she's admitting that, well, I saw us at the end, and basically me jumping in and being this kid's mother. I mean, she was fast forwarding beyond just the end of this show. It just, this back and forth that I keep going with of, you're there so close, but you need to run home to your kid. And then Katie's basically telling you, oh my God, I see us at the end here and what a life would be like. And I don't know if she was saying that partially to get him to stay, even though she even said like, oh, well, I don't want you to go, but I wouldn't try to keep you get you to stay. You know, it's just, there's so many different things coming from every angle.
Yeah. I wondered if things would have changed or would have been different if, like, what if he was able to see his son, like, if he came with his parents, or I don't know if it was, they were going to be on property, I would assume. Even if he wasn't filmed, because he said that he didn't want his son being filmed part of hometown, like for privacy and stuff. But if he just was able to, you know, see him in his hotel room or something, just for a little bit, if that would have changed the outcome of what happens to Katie.
Well, that's interesting. I kind of assumed that, like, while I was going through this, that just the son was never going to make the trip, but maybe I like that angle of maybe he was thinking that if we get to hometowns, my son would be there. So I finally, maybe even not for them to meet, but just like you said, I can see him.
Yeah, just like actual FaceTime. Like, you know, I'm here. Dad still loves you.
We're going to Disney, I swear.
Yeah.
And by the way, ABC, come on, it's one company. Where's the synergy? How do you not offer, like, right off the bat, be like, you guys get to spend a month in the castle and it's going to be great. Missed opportunity, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, maybe he thought, okay, if I get to hometowns, I'm finally going to get to see him. And then for whatever reason, again, because he's too young to be vaccinated or whatever the reason, him not being part of hometowns, I wonder if that, along with the daddy doesn't want to see me, is sort of the last of many straws.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah, it's just curious to see if that would have, I mean, it sounded like he was going to be the end for her. So it would have, it's interesting to think if that small thing of that small component of his son, just seeing him, you know, even for 20 minutes, before hometown or after hometown, if that would have changed the outcome of this whole season.
And to make matters worse, so they say goodbye, and it's neither of them seemingly wants to say goodbye to the other one. You know, when they hug, you can hear, and we've seen this in past seasons, where the microphone picks up the pounding heartbeat of both of them.
Yeah.
And so neither of them wanted this to end. But clearly, Katie, in the situation she's in, okay, you know, onward and upward, you don't really have much of a choice. And then on Mentel All, for him to basically say, like, hey, not to Katie, but just into the world, so Katie can find out later,
right. Hey,
if it doesn't work out, you know, I'm like, everyone always comes on this show and says, oh, I'll always have a special place in my heart. But for him to say, like, no, I'm still in love with her, I would totally give it another shot, like, lays it out there. And then Tayshia just, or Caitlin, I don't remember which one, but for one of them to just, like, hit him right where it hurts by saying, oh, Katie, by the way, Michael over here said that you guys, maybe you could, you know, give it another shot. And Katie just looks
shut
away.
Shut it down.
Won't even look at him and will just say, well, everything I've gone through has gotten me where I am. And I'm just going to look forward, not back. I'm thinking, oh, my God.
Poor guy.
Why do you even need to bring that up in that situation?
I don't know. But if the end doesn't work out for Katie, she has Andrew and Michael A just like waiting for her.
This is seriously, every time you see people on these shows, all it is, oh, thank you so much. And I'll have a special place in my heart. And I'm so glad I met you. And you never or rarely have the person coming out and basically saying, whatever happens, I'll take you back.
Yeah.
And like you said, Andrew also said the same thing, although he at least said it on the show while they were still breaking up,
right,
as opposed to Michael, who goes on the couch and is like, yep, let's do it.
Yeah.
And just,
I saw my son. I'm good now.
We went to Disney. It's cool. So I think he was probably hoping that would just sort of live out there so that once we get past the finale, if for some reason it doesn't work out, we can revisit, as opposed to having to put Katie on the spot right there and say, who seemingly, whether she's engaged or with someone, to then have her have to comment on, oh, do you want to give it another shot? Like, of course she's not going to say yes now.
I know. Actually, yeah, things didn't work out.
Yeah, never mind.
You have to wait and see.
Yeah, Blake, sorry. Greg, sorry. Never mind. I'm going to, let's just fast forward now. I'm going to go to mom life now. And so I also have to wonder if I'm Greg or Blake, or I guess Justin, you're watching that back, and we've seen this in years past, and it's just part, like, listen, we know what, you know, most of these people know what they've signed up for, but if Greg has an issue with her kissing other guys on a show where she's dating 30 people, how does he react to watching her say, oh, a day or a week or whatever it is before hometowns, oh, this is the person that I thought I was going to end up with?
Yeah, that'd be tough to get by.
We always sort of poke fun at, is this your first day? This is what the show is.
Yeah.
But for someone who's playing the role of, oh my God, I can't deal this season, and that's Greg.
Yep.
That's
resting a sad face.
That is a tough watch to be thinking, oh, you're meeting my family, we just went through this, and let's say it's him over Blake, and I'm just discounting Justin at this point, but that's an interesting conversation to have. Like, oh, so you were gonna be mom to his little kid, huh? I was just here for what?
Yeah, that'd be tough to get over, for sure.
And I don't think someone like, and maybe we'll be proven wrong in the finale or the fantasy suites, but I don't think someone like Blake would care. And not that he wouldn't care per se, I just don't think it would affect him the same way. I mean, Greg has clearly shown time and again that he has trouble with this process.
Everything affects him.
Everything. I have a feeling that if she picks Blake, he's just going to be like, yeah, it's part of the show. What are you going to do? You know.
I agree. Greg's just whole own category.
Exactly. And so Michael goes away. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, let's start the hometowns off, and we'll get some of these dates going, and then maybe we'll intersperse a little bit of this mental all. Oh, they're gonna start with the mental all. Okay, cool. But I'm sure they'll go back
to
the dates, right? And show us a little bit of the hometown.
Maybe one dates. Get one out of the way.
Right? No. Oh, we're gonna do another one of these. Okay. Oh, maybe just one more person on the couch, and then we'll go to no. Okay. Cause there's an hour and 40 minutes left in the episode. So clearly it's not going to all be mental. Oh, it is.
Oh, yep. You need that 45 minutes of bloopers.
Awesome. As we have mental all, and I don't know if you'd like to share with the audience the text you sent me while we were watching this last night.
Did you know there was a Kyle in Katie's bunch of people? Because
and
I did not.
I'm ashamed to say I did not know that Kyle existed.
Was he a one-nighter? I don't even know.
Even Cody, who I couldn't have told you his name, by the way. But right. Even Cody, we knew because of that weird, like, out-of-nowhere feud where it's like,
that was so weird.
I don't trust you, and you're yeah. bad news. I'm like, didn't we just get here? I don't.
Yeah, I don't get it. What did I miss? I like rewound that like three times.
Did I take the last appetizer? What's happening here?
Yeah.
I'm very confused.
Kyle was just, he's a brand new face there.
And I did know every other person. Like I said, even Cody, although I wouldn't have been able to tell you his name.
Right.
But I almost think like, was Kyle someone they hired just to throw in to see if the other guys would notice?
Yeah.
And be like, no, he lived with you for real. Like, really? I don't remember. Was he on one of the group dates? We didn't vote him off the island like the other people.
I honestly had no clue.
Once we did get everyone sat down, and as we see every season, people had their lines that they were ready to go to. Brendan was going to do the fake news thing over and over, and that was clearly going to be his thing. Yeah, you're fake news. That's fake news. Bah. Of all the back and forths, which were you most taken with, Katie?
There's just so many. Carl's accusation of Brendan just coming to America for free beer. That was a fun one.
And I think Brendan and Carl were interesting because if it was like a measuring contest or what, but for like everyone starts standing up as per usual, Carl needs to sort of take it to the next level. And he's standing in Brendan's face.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, guys, you're not going to
fight. Asia don't know what to do.
You're not going to fight.
Yeah. Are you really going to throw a punch?
Seriously. I appreciated most. I don't know that any of the back and forths were overly interesting, but I do appreciate Carl. Unfortunately, Katie, and I'll use the drink word, validated a little bit by saying like, well, you were right, even though clearly I think we all agree he was making things up out of thin air.
Right.
Went 100% in on the, oh yeah, I was talking about Thomas. That's it. I was totally 100. Yep, that was it. That was me. Mm-hmm. I'm right. I'm smart.
Yep. Well, everyone was like, you need to tell us, like, who were you talking about? And he's like, well, obviously it was Thomas. And they're like, well, you said it was a bunch of people. Like, who was it? And he was like, it was Thomas. Like, obviously.
Yeah, no, of course it was Thomas. And like, well, if of course it was Thomas, when we specifically asked you who was it, why didn't you just say who it was? So listen, if you are, if you're Team Carl, fine. And you want to buy that, fine. But there's no way he was making it all up as he went along. But I do agree, and we talked about this a little bit, that so many of those arguments, if you will, in those three straight weeks, it really was, okay, we're picking a person and we're ganging up on them. And unfortunately, it sort of worked each time. But at the same time,
meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA cleared and CE marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven. Fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
time, that was Katie. Not the ganging up, but the like, hey, tell me if there's something I need to know. So it's once again, we're weighing the, okay, are you in on the wrong show trying to vote people off versus, well, she did say if there's anything I need to know.
Just, you don't know.
And so as much as there was, you know, as much as there was substance while these guys were sitting there, and it's like my hands are going closer and closer together, like very, very little. It was a trend that we saw again and again and again. So I can understand whether it's Hunter or whoever trying to stand up and be like, see, I told you. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they were sort of being creepy. So,
fine line.
Exactly. Fine line. And now I think we need to tackle one of the weirdest parts of any men tell all or women tell all or whatever tell all that we've ever seen on this show.
Cringeworthy.
And I would love to find out how this even got set up. But.
Well, I can tell you how it got set up.
So Connor comes to sit on the couch, and you know, the only thing they want to ask him is like, oh, you're a bad kisser. And he says he texted a bunch of his exes and they said, no, you're a good kisser. I promise. Fine. Whatever. What are they going to say?
Imagine getting that text like years, like just randomly, like, hey, by the way, am I a good kisser?
Because even if you weren't, and even if they're saying, be honest, who's going to say, you know, you were terrible? Yeah. You actually were terrible. Like,
exactly.
No, let me just, you know, throw dirt on your grave now. No. It's like, yeah, everything was great. Cool. How you doing? Some random girl who happens to be mic'd stands up in the middle of his whatever answer and says, I'm sorry, but I need to interrupt here. And there's no way you can be a bad kisser.
So I don't know if you saw the posts that went around of the casting call.
I did not, but please fill me in on this because this was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Okay. So I don't know if I've even heard of Central Casting. I don't know if you have, but it's a casting company basically. And they do all the main cities, LA, New York, whatever. So apparently, and again, this is social media. So I mean, it could be edited, whatever.
Everything on social media is true.
Okay, that's true. So, well, in that case, there is literally a whole, basically, classified ad and saying, production is looking for a couple women who may be comfortable to speak on a show. And then it says, one of the guy cast members was accused of being a bad kisser. At the end of the segment with him, a young, attractive woman, possibly you, from the audience would stand up and say something to the effect of, I saw you kissing on the show. I think you're very cute, and I know you're not a bad kisser. I'd love to put that to the test right now. This woman would then either come down to the stage and kiss the guy, or he would respectfully decline and perhaps a hug instead. Would you be comfortable doing this? If so, apply here. Wow. So, again, I don't know if it's true, but it has been in a lot of, after last night's episode, it's been all over the place. So, interesting.
Interesting is a word for it. So, if you're believing that, and I'm certainly fine with believing that, then the kiss itself was her choice.
Right.
And so, the other part of that is, I mean, let's be serious. If you're on The Bachelor or Bachelorette, are you really going to turn down a pre-planned, scripted kiss? I mean,
No.
So on Instagram, on Connor's Instagram, he tagged the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a musician.
Obviously.
Her name is Tara Kelly. And you can find her at tarakellymusic.com. She has 18,000 Instagram followers. I don't know how many she had before last night's episode. But this was her comment. She said, "For all my friends and family asking, it's me. What a wildly surreal night. Hi and welcome to everyone new here. And thank you to all the incredibly supportive people in my life. I promise I will answer your text messages." Okay. And Connor commented on saying, "I can't stop grinning every time I watch this."
Imagine if they like ended up together after all this, like this was how they were supposed to meet.
I mean, does she need to go to paradise now? Like, is that?
That might be a thing.
It's just.
And she's already followed by Hunter and Trey.
Yeah. And you wonder like, oh, why would you do that? And probably not. But like her post before that got 412 likes. Mm-hmm. And the video of her making out with him has almost 50,000 views as we're recording this. So.
Yeah. I wonder.
There you go. We have from the casting to the comment. It's all in there.
Yeah.
Bravo, Tara. Bravo. Welcome to Bachelor Nation.
I followed her, so we'll keep you updated.
Yes, and we'll see if she wants to come on here and chat about it. I'm sure she's going to be a very, very busy woman for a while.
Yes, yes.
And was there anything else from before we get to the fun stuff they showed us? And I guess we got to talk about Katie a little bit, but was there anything else from the men going back and forth that we need to cover?
I don't think so. I mean, there was everything with Hunter, but it was just rehashing it out. Like nothing, no new information came to light during that. I thought Andrew S. would be a little bit more exciting, I think. But I don't know. That, other than that, that was really it.
When Michael was on the couch, did you notice that it was like the most subdued we've ever seen him? Like usually he's all, even when he's talking about more somber things, he's still got a little bit of a different energy. And when he's on the couch, to me, he just seemed like he was talking like this the whole time. And it just didn't seem like him.
Yeah, I noticed that. And I noticed that with Katie, too. Kind of like she says she's, you know, has no regrets and is happy with how everything turned out. But I don't know. I didn't really see it in her like in her energy or attitude. So that should be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah. And
it's usually like at the men tell all or women tell all, like you can tell that the lead is usually very happy and like confident in her decision. And but I mean, you're also in a really like poor situation right now. Like you're seeing 15 or whatever of your ex-boyfriends all sitting together. So I'm sure that plays into it, but I don't know. I expected her, I think, to be a little bit happier.
Mm. Yeah. It was definitely not your typical sort of victory lap, if you will, where they come out and, you know, this is my first time in front of people as the star. And
right.
Instead, it definitely felt a little more muted.
Yeah. And I also don't understand why Caitlin and Tasia have a better stylist than Katie. Like in literally every episode, I don't get it. The lead should be most.
You didn't like the green dress?
No, I mean, it was fine. But like Tasia and Caitlin are just always like so put together. And I feel like Katie just gets third pick. Of outfits.
Listen, I'll leave that to you. Tayshia and Caitlin certainly came ready to party. I will say that. They I don't know how I still feel about them as this sort of host. I think they've been fine on the show itself, but in this sort of scenario, I thought they were a little stale. But they certainly were looking the part.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Mm,
my lord. oh, and so we have to talk about Caitlin when she wasn't looking the part. I did like the fact they brought out Jason and I'm thinking, what could they possibly do with Jason? Like we already talked about the date he was on. Mm-hmm. And they showed us the footage from when they got engaged. And obviously they've talked about it, and it's not like she knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
But he was clearly trying to find a spot where she wasn't expecting it to happen. And mm-hmm. the fact that she responded with when she figured it out, which was as soon as he said, there's no podcast guest.
Yeah, she knew.
Did you hear what she said?
I'm in my tequila t-shirt.
This is what I'm supposed to be wearing?
Best response to a proposal ever.
And as we know, she obviously said yes, although the only reason we know that is because we know they're engaged, because you couldn't tell what the hell she was saying. I started to think, no joke, I thought it was like, wait a minute, was she having like a mini stroke? Because yeah.
She knew it too. She's like, I'm pretty sure that was not English.
So listen, when they first started dating, I thought it was the weirdest combination. But I mean, when you see them around each other, it's undeniable.
Oh yeah, so, it's 100%.
God bless.
Going to last.
Can't wait to see the televised wedding and the many good looking children that they're going to have. And mm-hmm. It's for people that say good relationships don't come out of this, even though it wasn't technically from the show.
Yep.
Just look at those two.
Exactly. Perfect example.
Before the show ended, we got another song from Connor. That is the right response, Katie. That is the right response.
I think as soon as he said, like, I brought my ukulele, I think everyone just went, like, Katie included. I think she was just, all right, it was cute the first couple times you did it, but now I don't have to pretend that like your song.
I'm very curious how it will go over in Paradise, because you know that he's also going to be taking his ukulele there.
Well, I'm sure we'll be fine because Tara is a musician, so
they'll be fine. They should just have them lead off the season 2 of Listen to Your Heart, and
you go.
Like this couple's already predetermined. They're ready to roll. Mentel All was sort of mentel. We got to embarrass Michael a little, which you know was sort of a bummer after seeing the goodbye he had.
Yeah, the deleted scenes like were actually funny. Why are they deleted scenes? Why don't they make them into the show?
We've talked about multiple times how like, why would you not show us this date? Because clearly there was a date, and clearly they showed us none of it or very little of it. And then it ends up on the end of this episode as sort of a filler to get to the final 3 minutes so we can fit an hour and 40 minutes of Women Tell All or Men Tell All. But that's good stuff.
Michael A. failed the challenge. Like any of that gold for a regular episode.
Yeah. And not only that he failed the challenge, but he happily admitted right away. Yep. Oh, yeah, that was like, me.
Yep. I did not go through the challenge.
And then him and Aaron going back and forth. That was the most real or human moment that we've seen from Aaron, you know, who seemingly is very often very scripted. And I thought that was kind of funny, him going back and forth with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Just two bros. Like
the one that they ended on with all the accents that they were talking. Like that that was so funny. He could have definitely sprinkled that in somewhere.
Right. Because Connor's not writing a song about bromance if there isn't a real bromance going on here. And right. So I think instead of just the guys, you know, when one's crying, you know, patting him on the back, I think it would be nice to actually see 30 seconds here and there of like, oh, I get why these, we talk about it every week when it's like, listen, only one person's going to win this at the end. I think it would be nice to see, oh, this is sort of why.
Exactly.
Just let us put the show together. We'll take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, next week, we finally will see, we think, the hometown dates. And supposedly, we will see possibly her saying it twice because we've seen it, her saying it walking away. This showed us the first time her saying it in the bathroom behind closed doors. But we will finally get the book my flight home.
Yeah. We will see if she goes home or if she will stay.
Well, I mean, we know she's not going home, but we're going to hear her say it finally. Then 2 weeks, the 3-hour dramatic finale.
The most dramatic finale ever.
With the new voice guy.
With the movie trailer guy.
So before we get to Katie's last 5 hours with us and find out how her journey ends, is there anything else going on in the world of Bachelor Nation that we need to be talking about?
Just a couple things. Ben Z got married this weekend. I don't know if you remember him.
I do.
Mostly, I think Bachelor in Paradise, but his season. And Raven and Adam are having a baby.
Hey, another couple that I never.
They are joining Jared and Ashley in the new Bachelor Baby Club.
Another couple that just from the jump never thought would work.
No, and never.
God bless.
Never.
Oh. Unbelievable.
But it works.
Might be few and far between, and it might take like 3 or 4 shows, but people get there.
Yep. Eventually, they find their bachelor buddy.
Oh, well, thanks to all our bachelor buddies that are listening. And you can find us on all socials at Bachelor Podcast. And we will be back here next week to talk about the hometown dates that we hopefully, maybe, possibly will get to see.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.